The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Our Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing with us. You are bringing light to us. You are shedding away the darkness. You are peeling back the walls of darkness. You are making our hearts to be infiltrated by light. And light is gaining dominance in our soul. We appreciate you, Father, for that. This morning, again, under our parents, whom you have put over this commission, we ask that, Father, you will bring blessings to our hearts. You will bring blessing to our soul. Let there be light, my Father. Let there be breath. Let there be freedom. Let there be liberty. Let our heart comprehend. Let our heart break into the realities of truth and righteousness. In the name of Jesus, grant utterance for all your thoughts to be expressed this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Considering our brotherhood is a major subject that our heart has to understand, because so much about the gospel is tied to it. So much about the gospel is tied to it. So when we read scriptures and which says the Lord places the solitary in family, the Lord places the solitary in family, it's so huge. We will not know how solitary we were until we find a family. This family is not now your natural family, because frankly speaking, nobody fell from the sky. Your natural family may not be the best of families. Are you with me? May not be the best of families. And usually, there is no actually a perfect family. Until you meet another family, you will know that, oh, maybe something is missing in your own. Okay? It is a child that says, my daddy is the best daddy in the whole wide world. Well, that is a child talking. When you sit with other children to compare daddies, you may realize your daddy is not the best. But your daddy is good enough. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so when we grow older, we realize that there's no family on earth that actually is the model family. Okay, there's always something to improve on. There's something that is not there that we cannot add, though we know we need it, and all of that. So that's the state of everybody. So when we talk about Psalm 68, verse 6, God settled the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Let's look at this scripture together. Let's play around this scripture for a short while. God settled the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Who are those who were bound with chains? Everyone who is not a believer in Christ Jesus is bound with chains. Everyone who is not born again is bound with chain. New birth is the beginning of our freedom. It's not our freedom, but the beginning of our freedom. That new birth makes it possible for us to be added to a family. Did you see solitary in families? Do you see solitary in families? So God consciously create families. And when you move from family to family, you are going to find that life expression is not exactly the same. But they are families. Hallelujah. So when you come to family A, family B, family C, they are not exactly living the same thing. The instructions in family A, the children in family A may not like it. But there's a reason why that instruction is there in family A. When you get to family B, the instructions here may not be like family A. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Same also for family C. But they are all families. So when you meet God, he creates families based on the time and the work that he's doing. The time and season on earth and the work he's committing to the family head to do. God creates families and puts solitary in family. The bottom line of every family, agenda for every family, is found in Acts 2, verse 47. Run down there quickly. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So that family is the church. But inside the church, you have them families. The bottom line is that they all should be saved. Are you with me? That they all should be what? If you don't answer me, we'll go slow. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. So, when you enter any family that the Lord puts you into, the bottom line is that salvation must be the goal. Do you understand me? So there is no family God raises on earth that is primarily to make people rich on earth. God doesn't have that agenda. It's not inclusive in what God is doing. Does God not make people rich? God can make you feel the rich. But God does not build any family, because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, not the gates of poverty, is the gates of hell that will not prevail. The gates of hell prevail because of death, sin and death. So they are added to the church such as should be saved. So if a family is raised of God, the basic agenda is that all that is there should be saved. Are we together? Now, so there's a solitary guy who is in chains, but the Lord wants to add a solitary to a family. The Lord, first of all, breaks the chains. Are you getting me? But you see, when chains are broken, it doesn't mean that you know that you are. There's a chain mentality that everybody who is that has once been in chain carries along. So you wonder why Africans still behave like we are under colonialism. Very few Africans know that colonialism has ended. In our action, in the way we approach life, very few of us, very few African leaders know that colonialism has ended in their mind. So the way they go back to beg their former colonial masters and relate with them, okay, is you see that thing like, so if I no talk with this man, we know if he do something for our country. But a new Africa is already imagined. And that's what you find with these Francophone countries who are insisting that we have gained independence. Let us be independent. Because chain mentality can linger with you for a very long time if you have ever been in chains. Some of the lifestyle you find Black Americans express today in America is not far from slavery. The way the number of them behave and talk about slavery or activity of slavery is as if slavery ended 2 years ago. Slavery ended before a number of us here were born. In fact, none of us were living when they abolished slavery. None of us here was born. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Over 100 years ago, and people are still carrying on with that mentality. Somebody can still, because they understand that chains are not just only in hands. Chains are forced in your mind. When you saw a movie like Kunta Kinte, what was that guy warring against? He didn't want to be chained in his mind. What is your name? Kunta Kinte. They gave him a new name. He said, my name is Kunta Kinte. They kept beating him. He refused. They didn't break him all. He said, my name is Kunta Kinte. Other people have changed their names before they even reach. They have been broken already. Before they finish crossing the Atlantic Ocean, their spirit was broken. When they entered a new place and saw people white as snow, hey, maybe this is another heaven. Who knows where we came to? They look at themselves, they look at the other people. Then the kind of things people do, they ride in some things called cars or whatever. these are bicycle or whatever. They said these are from God, though. These are the original that our fathers were calling on. But somebody's mind refused to be chained. The first place they lay chains on is in your mind. Are you getting me? What sin and death did against us was not to bind our hands, was to chain our mind. When they say that you are not free, bro, you say if the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. There's only one person that can set a man free. And if Jesus wants to set a man free, he gives you a fresh orientation. Tell your neighbor, I need a fresh orientation. Church is to give us a fresh orientation of life. The life we have lived, the life we know, is not how life should be. And you know, the interesting thing is that every time a child is born, nobody teaches a child how to live. We only complain it's not living well. This girl you are complaining about, did you teach her how to live and what life should be like? Then you just start complaining that you put a child in nursery school, in primary school and secondary school does not mean you have trained the child to know what life should be. We just assume that people are born on earth and they should know how they should live. That is why 90% of human beings are in bondage. So when we are added to families, one of the strongest assignment of family is orientation. Is what? Orientation. We have to be reoriented because there's a family we were from. You don't understand that until you are adopted at age 15. To adopt a child from the orphanage at age 15 and convert that child to be your child and represent you, your enterprise and industry, that child would have accepted to be broken to take another form. Because reorientation is not easy. So what you hear Abraham asking God, is it this Eliezer of Damascus that will be my heir? Eliezer of Damascus is a guy who was whether born in Abraham's house or was bought by Abraham. I don't know. Okay? But the guy had stayed with Abraham and swallowed Abraham completely. That when he was praying, he said, God of my master Abraham. He laid clear prayer points as if he was the one God called with Abraham. I'm not sure Lot can pray that kind of prayer that guy prayed. Are you getting me? And he said, Genesis 24 verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham. Abraham is his master. He's a slave. I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Go ahead. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Look at. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed to thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. See, this guy doesn't have another life. He has bought Abraham orientation, mindset, everything. One of the strongest mindsets of Abraham is faith in the invisible God. So this guy will pray prayer without having to kill a cock and spill the blood, and believe that God has answered him. Until Abraham showed up, you know, this thing was not common. So this guy was a slave, not a son, but has bought into the orientation, the faith of Abraham, the gospel that God gave to Abraham, and was operating it as if Abraham was his direct father. Wow. So, when we are added to the family, the assignment is to change our orientation, to change our mind. So when you say repentance, repentance is, the Greek word is metanoia. What does it mean? To change your mind. Change your mind. There's something we all believed before. There's a way we knew life should be like. Are you getting me? So when we come to the gospel, the idea of the gospel is to preach to us until we are able to change our mind. We should change our mind. tell your neighbor, you should change your mind. But a man's mind cannot be changed just because the man came to church. Something has to be preached to the man. Christ must be preached to a man over and over. And I love the prayer Elder Bai was leading this morning. If we don't consciously apply our hearts like somebody who wants to pass an exam, you know that if you want to write an exam and you're not aiming for A, you can have a D. Because even people who aim for A finally got C. How much more people who aim for nothing? You may proceed that course. So that the approach should be that this thing I'm hearing is true, then I should embody it. I should embody it. Somebody should just see me and just say, wow, I like this guy's life. And for somebody to see you and your life is preaching to the person, you have labored to embody details of gospel. Amen. So orientation, changing our orientation, cannot be done just by advising you. You see, my sister, this brother is your brother in Christ. Say hello to him. Don't be angry with him. It's not good to be angry. People of God, is it good to be angry? It's not good to be angry. No, that does not change any man's mind. We have to function under the Holy Ghost. We have to be brought under the Spirit of Truth for certain orientations in us to shift. Because certain orientations in us are as old as the earth. If they trace, in fact, the confusion that we have today with a man said to me, you are already in conflict. You are a man in conflict. So when we now give you a woman who is also in conflict, two of you will be complicated if Jesus does not come and help you. I think that was one of the strongest marriage counseling I got when I was about getting married. By me, one of the strongest. To admit that I am a man in conflict. And when I say salvation, when I say I come to church, I came to church so that my conflict is resolved. Are you getting me? That is why I'm coming to church, so that my conflict is resolved. And so, me that my conflict has not been resolved, I now go and marry another woman who is also trying to get her conflict resolved. So, both of us are conflicted. Jesus has to help us. Some orientations. Do you know that when they trace you now, you are not just Yoruba? There's some part of you that is Arab, is inside you. We don't know the part of Arab. Because the way you get angry sometimes, maybe it's that part from Iran. Are you getting me? There's another part of you that is Russian. It does not leave a fight. Even if they beat him, he will die there. So when you trace a human being, DNA has now been able to show us that by deeper search, you can trace the races that are included in your bloodline. And they can tell you that it is from the fifth generation that this blood came in. And that science has tried. But you can now see why it is difficult to simply say, I save you. So by just saying, Lord Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, you are now saved like that. You, why they describe like this? The problem we have is that we don't even know ourselves. If we know ourselves and the issues we are dealing with, we will know that to save a man, you have to bow. We have to bow our heart consistently to Jesus for salvation to be done. Do you think you understand me? So they don't use counseling to change our orientation. They preach under the Spirit of Truth to shift the course of our life. One of those orientations that must be put into us is our brotherhood. Can you say our brotherhood? Is one of those orientations that must be ingrained into our consciousness. And that orientation cannot be put into our consciousness without us first understanding bloodline. What did I call it? Bloodline. If we don't understand bloodline, certain things cannot sit with us. You can't understand bloodline if you don't understand fatherhood. Father is where bloodline comes from. They call it bloodline because it is a line, it connects all of us together. For instance, we God has made us of all one blood. Are you getting me? Every human being is being made of one blood. I think that was Paul talking somewhere. Talking to the people at Athens. Because we are of one bloodline, it is easy for one blood to save all of us. Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So we have one bloodline, and that is why one blood can save all of us. What you find the blood of Jesus doing is that, oh God, every time I look more at redemption, I just see that God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. So he knew that man will fall. He had to make man of one blood. So anybody that is not of this bloodline, the blood of Jesus cannot save that person. Anybody that is not of this blood, the blood of Jesus cannot save that person. If we don't understand bloodline, we have not understood fatherhood. Fathers give birth. And that is why we don't judge. It doesn't matter what some nations do. For some nations, you answer the name of your mother. Your mother's surname. Are you getting me? That is how some nations do it. In some nations, the women are the ones that pay dowry. Amen. So in some places, it is the women that pay dowry. In some places, children are attached to mothers. I think that's Ghana. Ghana is like that, I think so. If I'm not mistaken. Okay? But in God, it's patriarchy. It's not matriarchy. It's patriarchy. It's father. Because whether it is mother that paid dowry or the child is answering mother's name, seed came from whom? Fertility came from where? Father. Father is the one that made you male or female. Are you getting it? Father is the one that contributed X or Y chromosome. Mother only contributes only one, which is enough to give you flesh. Your father will determine whether you will be a womb, a girl, or a boy. Are you with me? So father is the one that determines what you do on earth. Kai, I said what? Father is the one that determines what you do. Are you aware that just being born a girl child, there are some things you can't do? There are some things that even we go tell you, say, go sit down, you'll be a woman. Now you go say, what a man can do? A woman can do. Joko, sit down. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not only today, it has always been like that. The earth will not allow you to do some things because of your gender. It felt awkward that Jacob was always in the kitchen, mother's kitchen. It felt awkward. Am I right? It felt awkward. Even when the father knew that the thing is moving to Jacob, Isaac said, they wonder, now this boy, where did he come up for kitchen? And when it was time for him to carry the blessing and to get into God's arrangement for Israel, God pushed him out of his mother's kitchen and sent him another 20 years under Laban to go and be a son. So he can be a father. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. Because if that was not done, I doubt if those 12 boys go badu, their life no go balance. Their papa na woman. Na kitchen, na food in the cook. So I'm trying to say, father is what determines what you do on earth. It's father. So when we now understand that place, we get to appreciate bloodline. So when I say you are my sister, on what premise am I saying that? Because we are Nigerians? Because we are Nigerians? Oh, no, you don't value that you are Nigerian now. Until you are in one part of the world for 3 years, you have not seen a Nigerian. All of a sudden, you just sighted one. You walk up past. The place where they got that coinage, blood is thicker than water. I'm not sure say no pass from people in the diaspora. When you walk up past him, you just turn. You look at that guy. He's black, but it's not black like if you know something in you is calling him. You just pick one thing. The guy can't answer you. Hey.
the way you go carry him like this, you go hug him. Now you now know that you say, oh Nigeria, ah, my sister. Now you have missed home. But this one I'm discussing is not I am Nigeria, you are Nigeria. Even as we they are trying to make us fight one another like this. It's not I'm Nigeria, you're Nigeria. This one I'm describing is that both of us are born of God. Have you ever had a sibling where all of us fair, only in nine dark? Have you ever met someone like that? Somebody, I said, ah, Abba, how your brother fair like this? The brother is almost an albino. You come back, you say, in fact, they call me the black sheep. I'm the only one who is black like this in my family. My father, my mother, my siblings are fair like my brother. I'm the one dark. He's not dark small. He's dark well. He really dark. I say, Abba. So that soul went to pick. The gene went to pick from one line down. Only God knows how many generations away. And just came to one recessive gene, just became dominant. Colored the guy's skin. Everybody. Somebody said that the day they born him, people enter. The mother told us, when people came to visit me, say, now you born this one. Because she don't born. He don't look like her elder ones. Okay? Have you ever seen that kind of family? But they are siblings. The way we judge somebody is our brother is not that he has finished changing. Are you with me? It's not that what? He has finished changing. God don't finish work for a body. No. God still they work on all of us. Amen. And it is very, very important that we go with that mindset. It is called family mindset. Tell your neighbor, family mindset. Yes, family mindset means that you know that all of us are siblings, but all of us are not alike. So if your father had 12 children, you will appreciate that all of us are not alike. 12 can never be alike. If your papa born only two can be alike. But 12 cannot be alike. In fact, by the time it's moving to 4, you will start seeing the difference. Are you getting me? Yeah. Now, because, in fact, for some cases, you just only two self. This one look like mother. This one look like father. And only when you see father and mother, it's okay. Now the same people born at. But when you see them individually, they don't look like. Okay? So, it is family mindset. And that sense must be there if we are going to stick out for one another. On Friday, I don't know if you listened to that teaching. Daddy said, you can have siblings. You have one brother that is always in trouble. Since where you know him, you always carry leg, enter trouble. You have always gone to save him, pull him out. You have gone to police station, bail him. Now on top of a case, now you write on a taking. The first time when you enter police, write statement, now a case. But he's your brother. Abba, he's your brother. And you are just praying and say, why am I unfortunate with family members? Boys, that's your brother. He's still your brother. No, say now somebody now be the brother of arm robber. What I talk, no clear. That person will be arm robber. Now somebody be brother. And it doesn't mean that his brother may not be a pastor. You can't reconcile it. Jesus chose 12. One of them betrayed him. In fact, Jesus himself called and said, am I not the one that chose 12 of you and one of you is the devil? God called him devil. The guy they steal, the guy everything where the devil hand they hand. And Jesus chose him. And Jesus kept loving this guy. Jesus kept loving this guy. Until this guy finally collect money. He sell your guy, collect money. Abba. Collect money. And entered church. Come tell and say, now my oga be this.
No, na carry him. Abba. Jesus still look and say, friend, where are you coming from? Betrays thou me with a kiss? So when you see that height, you want to say, if this is the Jesus we are to follow, then maybe I should tie the lace of my shoe properly because the race is strong. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. It shows us that there's nothing really. You are not a fool to be loving that brother that doesn't seem to be forthcoming. This brother. Brother came and said, there's one business, so I just think, let me do this business. And da, 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 da. In fact, all of us, now gather money, give him the money loss. He's still our brother. He came back. We give him another one. Story follow and come back. He comes the third time. We say, brother, business is not your thing. Let us employ you so as somebody can be paying you salary. Wait till they find and make food at your table. Abi. The brother, you think that by our experience and loving him now, he will agree. He still feels like people don't understand me. Pastor, why I'm being misunderstood everywhere? I can do this business, is so clear. I can do it. It's just that last time I didn't take note of that point C. That's why he failed. No problem. Pastor mind now said that last time it was point B, he didn't take note of. You can't be using all our economy until you get to Z. Let us just employ you once so you can be. The brother said, No, Pastor. Do you know that he's still our brother? What I'm telling you, I'm not framing story. I'm not mentioning names. But they are happening. He's still our brother. We will be patient and wait for him to realize. Because patience is love. Are you aware that the person you are showing patience, you are patient with, may not know that you are patient with the person? You may not know. He's just feeling like, how are you? Fine. Fine. We are all patient with him. We count 5 years. We are patient with him. It gets more painful to you because this brother has a wife. And the wife is carrying the whole family. And his any money they save together, he go put out for business, he go blow. He go put out for business, he go blow. And the brother refuses to agree that business is not your thing. Collect job, collect salary. But he's still our brother. Because the basis of our brotherhood is not how sound his mind is. I said the basis of our brotherhood is not what? What I'm saying this morning is important because this is the reason why some people look down on some brethren in church. During Confist on Friday, you heard Reverend Olagudo saying that there's a man he knows in that town where he's preaching from that never carries people from his church. Did you hear it? Yeah. He does not. He said today, they carry person for church. He met him one day, said one day, God will put you in a situation when our brethren will carry you. You will need brethren and they will be the one to lend. Brother, where are you going to? He said, God will arrange them for you. And his reason is simple. Brethren will stain my car. When they come, they will not dust their feet before they put their leg. You are, as I'm saying now, you can't even imagine it. If not that somebody, there's somebody he knows. And they all the preaching in church has not changed the guy. He's our brother. He's our brother. If church will be a place where God will add people and they will be saved, what they used to save a man, it's not only what I'm preaching now that will save you. We are going to fellowship together, interact together like we played yesterday now. You can just go away and feel like, wow, that thing I did. This person could have been angry, but he wasn't angry. Even I mean, for one vessel. And it can leave an impression on you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Oh, you don't understand that? That just our fellowshipping together is part of what saves us. So he said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We just come sit down, gist and all of that. In the course of that, we get to know you more. What do you do? Where do you stay? We gist about you. We gist about that. Solution is preferred to what matters here and there. And then we all get better. We all get better. We all get better. May God help our hearts. If we don't understand how deep the blood of Jesus runs, we get to a place where we easily class people in church. That one get money is my friend. That one no get money I beg. Poverty is transferable. I beg. Some things are cancerous. I don't want to keep that kind of relationship. Jesus didn't look at how brilliant people are to add them to church. As much as, you see that brother, he's also expected of you to come in and allow the and learn good. The church has been one of the most strongest places on earth where people have been upgraded so much. Things that university couldn't do, church has done it. By people just coming in and fellowshipping, and this guy that looked like a farmer just become polished. In 2-3 years, just become polished. This guy that comes in with a long face just smiles now. Gist and laugh and play. Just guy, this guy that just look on serious, just square up. Church has done many, and that is why God adds solitary in family. So when we come into family, we come to learn. If we stay in a family and we don't allow the life in the family to rub off on us and change us, we are misusing the family opportunity. Are we getting what I'm trying to say? God put us together so that we can journey together, and the essence is change. Can I hear you say change? Transformation is not something that happens because I pray too much. I pray. I can't transform. No. Transformation, the easiest way God has programmed transformation to happen is by we living together. Did you get me? It's by what? Once we are living together, change will naturally happen. Amen. When we embrace brotherhood in its full essence, and we throw down the mindsets and philosophies and arrangements that does not allow us to fully buy into brotherhood, so one thing that happens is that it has ability to separate us from where we are coming from. You see the way I'm talking? Over the weekend, we have heard word, we have eaten maize. I'm talking, I want to bring it back home. I'll be wrapping up very soon. It has ability to do what? Separate us from where we are coming from. We are not changing from, we are still resembling where we are coming from, because somewhere in our heart, we have not bought into the family. If we buy into the family, just give it 2 years. People from that place will look at you and say, what did you do? You have changed. How? Because we know ourselves. In our family, we don't smile. Nothing is funny. Where did you get this excitement from? You have changed. What happened to you? Are you getting me? We know ourselves in our family. We are never serious. So how did you get your own seriousness from? How? In fact, when they even say you have changed, they don't know exactly what changed in you. They just know something has changed. Something has changed. It is you. I know. They don't know what changed. They just know that you have changed. Hallelujah. If we buy into brotherhood, it has what it takes to separate us. So God put brotherhood there as a cleanser or separation from our former life. From where? Our former life. Our former life will remain intact despite the fact that we are born again. So family raises up a standard and says, this is how we behave here. Why is it raising standard? To make sure that we are separate from where we are coming from. For the meantime now, if you are adopted into a home at age 15, is it the age I'm calling? Because we can adopt a baby at age 2. At age 1. But when you're adopted at age 15 and you come from motherless baby's home, orphanage, you have learned some vices from the street. Are you aware that child is not going to come in just clean like that? He has learned to cheat, to survive. He has learned violence. And then you come into the home and say, don't do that. She's your sister. Don't behave that way to her. It will take you dying. And when I say dying to your former life, I mean adopting the new reality or the new standard of life. It will take us doing what? Adopting the new standard of life. The new standard of life is now called righteousness. It will take us adopting it for our hearts to receive the transformation that is commensurate with the new family we have been added to. Church is not a place where we package you. It's a place where you change gradually, change by yourself. Everybody can come here and say, "I'm a member of our church. We give you a new car. We give you a new job." Because if you're a member of this church, you must, we have social status. No, that is not church. That is not church. So church would accommodate slaves and masters. So Paul wrote to masters and also wrote to what? Servants. Church should accommodate parents and children. So Paul wrote to parents and also wrote to children. Oh, you don't know how that dice is dicey. I will explain. That boy is your son. But now, he grows in church. He's born again. And everybody calls him Brother Chima. Except you. Except you, his father. Everybody calls him Brother Chima. But every time you want to call him, you call him Chima. You are in the flesh. We will soon all get there. Better we learn it now. Because that guy, you will still call him pastor. If God puts grace upon him. You will still sit down. After you have finished preaching, your own generation are preaching. You will sit down and he will be preaching. And you should not run away from church. That is church, sir. Are you aware that Paul left Timothy in Ephesus? You saw Ephesus in the book of Revelation, Abi. I say, Ephesus, Ephesus. Are you aware that John the Beloved was a part of that church? It shocked you. The John that Jesus showed revelation to was in the church in Ephesus where Timothy was the pastor. That when persecution broke out in Jerusalem, the mother of Jesus left Jerusalem and was in that church in Ephesus. And Timothy was the pastor. And Timothy was young. And they were not the one that taught Timothy. It was Paul that raised Timothy. And Timothy was pastoring them. And so when Paul was writing to Timothy to know how to talk with elders, rebuke not an elder sharply, that they were elders in that church. Haba. When we are learning some things, now they look easy. But if we don't learn them well, they will be our hiccup tomorrow. You can receive further light from Zion. In the day, he will be the one holding mic. Revelation has finished. You are not growing again. It's my son. What's he doing? He grew up in our midst. I know that time was running around disturbing church. Zion, now he's the one preaching. I beg, I don't know. Let another person preach. Let's bring another pastor for us. This is the one they have raised for you. Because church should accommodate father and children. Accommodate master and the slave. God can put grace on slave. Are you with me? Grace can be on slave. And master, you are his master. When he finished preaching, he will get home and serve you. Paul met Philemon. Is that not Philemon? No. Philemon is the master of Onesimus. Paul met Onesimus. Onesimus ran away from his master. Whether anything he did, he shall run. But you know the consequence of running away from your master? Is death. If your master catch you, he can choose to kill you. So for the guy to be too, he's fool. Say, let me run. When they catch me, they kill me. He run away. So that guy was a diehard guy. That guy was a criminal. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? To run away knowing that the consequence is death. If you are in issue, your job is serving. No matter what they're doing to you. You know the day you run away, they'll catch you. And they always put a sign on a slave. So anybody will see you, will know that you are a slave somewhere. They will catch you. Who is your master? When they return you, your master can do anything he wants to do with you. Paul met this guy. And Paul wrote back to Onesimus. Just spending some time with Onesimus. I say he's more profitable to me. Only that, no problem. Let me return it to you, my brother. Let me return him to you. You're my brother. I know from my interaction, he's your slave. But now treat him as a brother. So Onesimus can even be a pastor in that church. Having been pastored by Paul, Onesimus can be the pastor of that church. And Philemon should take him. You came from Paul. Wow, what are the news? Paul gave me this letter to give you. And Philemon will read the letter. Wow, so you are being for the last 2 years. Wow. Wow. Okay. This thought Brother Paul shared, can you expand it more? And Philemon, Onesimus can even start to pastor Philemon. And gospel says that you should hear him because he's your brother. Though his status, social status is very low, Jesus did not die for social status. Do you think you understand what I've said this morning? There's a family orientation that we all need. And I feel that having done Confist, this orientation should go with all of us. When we were playing together yesterday, the corn you ate, who boiled it? Rich man or poor man? Big man or small man? You ate the corn. When you ate the corn, which of them had a different color? I came from the farm of a rich man or the farm of a poor man. You ate the corn. Am I right? We ate coconut. Which of the coconuts had a different taste? Because the person who cracked me is rich. The person who cracked me was poor. So the coconut was sour. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now that is how we are meant to be. And that is gospel. That is gospel. If the gospel we practice is class-based, we have violated the principle of brotherhood. If the gospel we practice is class-based, we have violated the principle of brotherhood. The sister who has been in the world and the world has made a mess of her now come to church. We are not seeing her from that eye. We are seeing her as a new person. We are seeing how to elevate her, how to reorient her and move her to where she should be, knowing that she has suffered a whole loss, lot of loss in the world. That is church. That is church. May Jesus bring us into this church. Amen. May Jesus grant us grace to buy into this church. Amen. This is the church that Jesus is building on the earth. A church where status is not the criteria. A church where the blood of Jesus is stronger than our natural affiliations. Can we bow our heads and pray? Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, we thank you this morning.